Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good evening, I'm Chua Tian Tian with your Market View, and it's been an eventful week for the markets. Central banks around the world are tightening their monetary policy in a bid to curb rising prices driven by factors like supply chain disruptions and the war in Ukraine. And just last night, the European Central Bank confirmed its intention to hike interest rates at its policy meeting in July. And in the meantime, investors in the US are looking to key inflation data due later tonight for clues on the US Fed's rate path. So how effective are these measures in reining in inflation, and what are the implications of doing so? And how will central banks move interest rates in the coming months? Well, so many questions, and today we are going to take stock of the week with Dr. Cai Daolu. He is the Visiting Senior Fellow of Department of Strategy and Policy at the NUS Business School. Hi, Dr. Cai. Thanks for coming to our show. And let's start with Europe, perhaps. The European Central Bank confirmed its intention to hike interest rate at the policy meeting next month. But for now, it's not changing interest rates on the main financing operations, marginal lending facility, and so on. Why is that so?
Right. So after this week's of policy meeting, the European Central Bank confirmed its intention to maintain the rate at -0.5%. And this decision may seem quite puzzling because the headline inflation in Eurozone is running at about 8%, which is very similar to the inflation that we see in the U.S. economy. The Fed has decided to act quite aggressively to maintain, contain inflation by raising interest rates early this year. On the other hand, the European Central Bank has decided to maintain that rate with the possibility of a hike in next July. So how come these two economies, they are having similar headline inflation, but the policy are completely different in this context? So I think the best way to think about this, it's like, even though the headline inflation is very similar, the underlying causes and the possible trajectories, I think, are actually quite different. And let me elaborate a little bit on this. So if we zoom in a little bit and look at the underlying inflation in the U.S. and compare that with inflation in Europe, it seems like the inflation in the U.S. can be potentially more persistent. And that's why they took a more aggressive approach. And on the other hand, the inflation in Europe is mostly imported and most likely to be transitory. So it had a lot to do with a recent surge in energy and food prices caused by the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. So I think the decision by the European Central Bank is consistent with this view. And that's why it's quite different from the Fed, because of the cost inflation and the expected trajectory of inflation should be quite different, even though the headline inflation is very similar.
But still, Dr. Cai, the annual consumer price inflation across the 19 member euro areas still hit a record high of 8.1% in May. And some observers, they were saying that ECB policymakers, they run the risk of inflation being entrenched unless they move aggressively. So do you agree with that, and why?
I think, of course, there is such a possibility, but I think there would be a greater danger to the economy if the European Central Bank were to move more aggressively. Again, I think the comparison between Europe and the U.S. is very illustrative. So that inflation in the U.S. and Europe is similar, 8%, but the composition and the causes are quite different. So what I mean by that is the inflation in the U.S. is domestic and demand-driven. Where in Europe, it's imported and supply-driven. So if we look at the core inflation, which is the inflation that a preferred choice by economists, and that's the inflation that excludes a lot of historically volatile items like food, energy, and commodities, the core inflation in the U.S. grew about 6% in the, this year. In the Eurozone, only half of that. So, and they are signs that the U.S. economy was overheated, and I don't think that's true for the Europe area. So let me give you some data on consumption. Consumption today in the U.S. is about 25% above the pre-pandemic trend. In Europe, it's quite different. The consumption is below pre-pandemic trend. The same thing applies for nominal GDP. In the U.S., it's above pre-pandemic trend. In Europe, it's below pre-pandemic trend. So I think a lot of these macroeconomic variables seem to indicate that Europe and the U.S. are facing different macroeconomic scenario. And I think that's why I think it would justify the position of the EC. They are more conservative in that sense. So they decided to keep the interest rate at that rate.
As you mentioned, they have been a bit more conservative on the conservative side, intending to raise key interest rates by 25 basis points at the July meeting. In your opinion, how effective will this be in curbing inflation, given that a bulk of it is imported?
Right. So considering, like they say, most of this inflation is imported, meaning that most of this increase is coming from the hike in the price of food and energy, I think this moderate increase of 25 basis points should be sufficient. And there's a subtle thing about inflation I should highlight, and that is for inflation in Europe to stop rising, we do not need energy and prices to drop. It is sufficient that they do not keep increasing again. So they can stay high at the level that they are right now, provided they do not keep increasing again. So inflation will return to normal levels. So, and I hope that this conflict in Ukraine will end soon so the world can return to post-pandemic recovery phase.
Definitely. And so in the meantime, what should the ECB do to also, because a lot of people were saying by tightening monetary policy, you risk falling or slipping into a recession. So what should they do to prevent the economy from slipping into a recession?
What they are doing so far is precisely a good sign. And what I mean by that is that in the case of Europe, abstaining from tightening the monetary policy too fast and too soon is a good way to avoid an unnecessary recession. So all the macroeconomic indicators suggest that we need to acknowledge that the inflation dynamic and the underlying causes in Europe are very different from that of the U.S. So with the macro data that we have today, I think had the European Central Bank followed the same approach as the same aggressive tightening policy as the Fed did, I think we'll probably get into high chances of recession.
So careful calibration needed indeed. So Dr. Tsai, the European Central Bank expects a further hike at the September meeting, but they say the scale of that increment would really depend on medium-term inflation outlook. What are your thoughts and what are your expectations? What is the likely increase in rates?
Right. I personally wouldn't expect, I would personally expect a gradual change in policy rate. I do not anticipate a similar aggressive policy that we observe for the U.S. economy enacted by the Fed. We have signs. We see that the European economy is not overheated. Consumption has not picked up to pre-pandemic levels. GDP has not recovered to the pre-pandemic levels, and the labor market still have a lot of room to improve. And the most important thing, the conflict of Russia and Ukraine, we all hope that it will end soon. So I think the magnitude required to contain the path of inflation in Europe will be much less aggressive than the one we observe in the U.S. By the Fed.
If you're just tuning in, we are now speaking to Dr. Tsai Tao Lu, the Visiting Senior Fellow of the Department of Strategy and Policy at NUS Business School. So Dr. Tsai, as you mentioned, let's turn our attention to look at the U.S. Investors are looking to key inflation data tonight. What can we expect to see?
I think for tonight, the number I'm really looking forward to seeing tonight is, in addition to the headline inflation, is actually the core inflation. And the core inflation is the inflation that removes a lot of historically volatile items. I think the core inflation is going to give us a better idea on the trajectory of on inflation. Core inflation is currently about 6% this year. So I think that if this number is under control, I think we should, if it's under control, then we shouldn't expect sudden changes of policy by the Fed. And it's also a great indicator that the policy that the recent hike of interest rate is actually working at containing inflation. So I would be paying a closer look at the core inflation for the month.
Some analysts were saying that they are expecting this core the inflation numbers to sort of moderate from April and from March also. So how will all these numbers affect the Fed's interest rate decision when they meet next Thursday?
My impression is that if the release in the core inflation shows that the core inflation is under control, I don't think we will expect any big surprises in terms of policy. Another part of this inflation that we should be paying attention to is actually prices of overall services in the U.S. And the reason I would be paying attention to that is that a lot of people believe that the current inflation in the U.S. is supply chain driven. So if we pay attention to services, which are usually historically not affected by supply chain, went up a lot in the U.S. In a way, if we look at the prices of services, it's a way to isolate how much of the inflation that we see is demand-driven. And I think paying a closer look at that, it would allow us to reassess whether it would command further tightening in the monetary policy. So any slowdown in the reported core inflation will be a grey sign, and it would not present major and big changes by the Fed.
Investors, they are seeing uncertainties during this time. So how should they deal with all these uncertainties? Any final advice for our listeners?
Yeah, I would have to use an old cliche here probably. I think diversify and invest for the long term. Investing in the morning hoping to be rich in the evening probably is not the wisest thing to do. And diversification is also important, and is extremely important in time of uncertainty. So what we know is that a large fraction of investors tend to be quite home biased. What that means is that they place a substantial amount of the assets in domestic equity, and they ignore the benefits of diversification. So we need to look at what opportunities are out there. So for example, this year was pretty bad for the global equity market in Europe, in the US, in China, in Asia, except for a region that is pretty far away from us, which is Latin America. So Latin America market is posting strong gains amidst this chaos. I think diversification is important, and be patient. So again, diversify your portfolio and invest for the long run.
Always diversify and invest for the long run, indeed. Thank you, Dr. Tsai. And that was Dr. Tsai Tao Lu, Visiting Senior Fellow of the Department of Strategy and Policy at NUS Business School.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.